my guest, an accurate, proven prophet, says this is the end of the world as we know it. Next. My guest, Johnny Enlow, was scheduled for later this year, but the Holy Spirit preempted our entire schedule and said to me, you must release this prophetic word now. Now, Johnny, you are known actually throughout the world because you had the first book on the seven mountains. Those that are not familiar with it, what are the seven mountains?
The seven mountains are the seven primary spheres of society. They would be media, education, government, economy, family, arts and entertainment, as well as mountain of religion, where traditionally we think of ministry. So that message, the seven mountain mandate, is about how we have an assignment to all these seven areas of society, that we must bring the kingdom to these areas and not just have good church meetings.
Well, does everyone have an assignment to one of these spheres of influence in some way?
Absolutely. I believe that 100% have an assignment from God. It's for sure.
It's fascinating where this has launched you into. You talk to heads of nations, and you change the finances of entire cities, entire countries. Just tell me briefly some of the areas you're working in.
I suppose the best testimony is the nation of Peru. My parents were missionaries there, and I was born and raised there. And it was known for its extreme poverty, 90% extreme poverty rate, not just poverty. And the Lord has allowed us to be catalytic. We won't say we did it all, but I will say we were for sure catalytic, both in what we declared and real practical things of discovering gold mines and other things like that, bringing the nation
down. That's practical.
Yeah. From 90% to 2.5% extreme poverty rate. And I was invited to Congress last year and given a diploma of honor for my service to Peru.
But it's not just Peru. Your teaching is pervading many, many sectors of the world, really. Now, you're a prophet, and at the early stages of the coronavirus, you had an amazing prophetic word given to you. Tell me about it.
No matter what happens over the next few hours and days, everyone remain calm. This is not the end, but only the end of the world as we know it. Not only is this not the end, but this is barely the beginning of the kingdom age. In this age, the church will learn that the king and his kingdom come together. The church has been in an arrested development period brought on by trying to leave the planet before we showcase the kingdom. We thought that just telling of the king was enough, but the king is inseparable from his kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom. There had been preliminary words over the last 4 years, mm-hmm. So that was just building on the previous words from the first time the Lord spoke to me about President Trump, that he was going to win, and I wasn't sure he was making a wise decision when he said that. I was literally seeing the vision and saying, oh no! And he's like, the Lord said, he is going to save you from things you don't know you need to be saved from. And he said, this is my candidate, and I have a special assignment. Even his name should tell you, Trump. This is me making a proclamation. This is me playing the higher card no matter what the enemy puts out there. And he said, your nation, the United States, will be known as before Trump and after Trump. And he said, actually, the whole world will be known as before Trump and after Trump.
What did God mean when he said, this is the end of the world as we know it?
He was announcing a new era.
So it wasn't a cataclysmic destruction of the world, which you were seeing.
Not at all. This is a shift upward into glory, presence. You know, different people have different names, revival, awakening, but this is something, I call it bigger than revival, because it includes transformations of cities and nations. This is where we see wholesale regions begin to be touched by the presence of God. And I wrote about it in a book 5 years ago that I believe by the year 2050, we would have 50 nations essentially operating as sheep nations under the light of the sons of God. Not like perfect in any way, but they would be headed in that direction. So I was like, what is going to happen to begin to put us on that path? So I knew it had to be something that shifted society in a major way.
Now, do you believe that we are really close to the end time judgments from the book of Revelation? The end, that this is it? What do you believe?
No, I don't. I've done a study of every single generation since the Apostle Paul, and every single generation, upon there being a challenge, whether it's a plague, a war, or something, has tried to interpret the final aspects that are in the Scripture, the final end times matters. They've tried to translate them and fit them into their generation. And it's been wrong, and it's been a wrong precept and concept, because Acts 3:21 clearly says Jesus is retained in the heavens. He's held in the heavens until, there's an until the restoration of all things spoken of by his servants, the prophets. Now, it doesn't tell us, you have to do some digging what the prophets talk about. Well, prophet David, because he's called the prophet, Psalms 2 says, ask me the nations and I will give them to you for inheritance. Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah 60, 1 through 3, arise, shine, your light has come, the glory of the Lord has risen on you. There's darkness, deep darkness, but the Lord will arise on you. It goes on to say, nations will walk to the light of the sons of God. The prophet Habakkuk 2:14 begins to speak of a day, says the knowledge of the glory of God will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. When you begin to put together even that with Isaiah 60, you arise, you shine, you realize he gets no great glory from having to remove us and then bring his glory. He gets, his story gets exciting when his glory can be seen on his sons and daughters, and his sons and daughters arise and shine. That's why Jesus continued the theme. You arise, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. From his first message, he is looking for sons and daughters who will co-labor with him to reveal his kingdom to society.
Well, this is very different than what most people's end time theology is. And as a matter of fact, I know people that have said, well, Jesus is coming soon. I'm not going to go to college. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go into business. I always wanted to be in movies. I'm not going to fool with that. All I'm going to do is live for Jesus. But they don't accomplish a whole lot with their life. Well, anyway, talk to someone like that.
Well, I would just tell you, I was one of those. I remember being 13 years old. And they had convinced me, you know, the 10 horns from Revelation, the 10 European nations, and I'm 13 years old, and I'm like, dang, I'm never going to get a chance to even get married. And I remember, and not only that, my friends of those days, you know, this is over 40 years ago, that was the belief going on. We don't have time to do anything. You don't have time, as you say, the studies. We don't have time to pursue dreams, to build anything of lasting, that's lasting. It's why there's been a kind of a microwavable brand of Christianity where everything has to happen in the next few months because Jesus is going to come too soon. And of course, lo and behold, I've now been married over 32 years. And so I didn't need to really panic the way I did. But that has been repeated over and over because we've tried to fit in. I call it an end timesitis. It's a virus from the enemy that seeks to disempower us from fulfilling our assignment.
So what you're saying is it's not about a specific date. It's a specific assignment. Now, Johnny has a word from God that will totally obliterate, totally destroy your fear of the coronavirus and the ones that are going to follow that. Be right back. Johnny, God showed you and didn't even have to show you. You just see people. I have never seen such fearful people in my life. As God told you, it's an irrational fear.
Perhaps our most abandoned mission field is the mountain of media as the church, as the body of Christ. And so because of that, we really have there's corruption, there's evil. There is a whole agenda of fear and darkness. I list in a study that we have of Apollyon and Leviathan as the principalities of the mountain of media. That means they destroy, they twist things, and there is a whole work of the enemy. It's a spiritual battle in there, but there are human elements to this. And I think we're seeing played out before us, perhaps a perfect demonstration of Mark chapter 4. You know, Jesus, he calls his disciples, says, boys, let's get on the boat and let's cross over. We're crossing over. We'll list that as his prophetic declaration before they started the day. He did not tell them, now you listen, don't be fearful because there's going to be a storm that surfaces pretty quickly. He didn't tell them that part of it. It's always interesting when the Lord gives us prophetic words, he rarely tells us the challenge that's going to be in there. And the challenge, therefore, is to believe what he said to start with.
The reason he rarely tells us is we'd say, no, not me, beyond my pay grade.
It's exactly right. So he said, we're crossing over. He had already declared it. God in the flesh prophesies we're crossing over. They're in the boat and a terrible storm surfaces. We can say the COVID-19 storm surfaces. And so they're looking at Jesus and he's sleeping and he's on a cushion, he's in a pillow, and it's like they make a point biblically if he's like comfortably asleep. And they wake him up and say, Master, don't you care? We're perishing. And so that's there are a set of circumstances that have fed the irrational fear. But here's the deal. The principle the Lord taught me is when in a storm, don't try to get a new prophetic word. What was true before the storm is still true. And so the reason they were upbraided for their small faith, you know, the Lord woke up, he rebuked the storm, calmed it. Then he upbraided them and it seemed like, man, that's pretty mean. There's a terrible storm there. Why is he upbraiding their little faith? Because he had already prophesied, we're going to the other side. My point to the body of Christ is what was prophesied beginning 2020 by the credible prophetic voices you've been following for years or even decades. It was not disaster. It was not doom. It was a major breakthrough year. It was a new era, a beginning of a decade that would be a kingdom age decade. And so the promises that were prophesied to begin this year don't suddenly get canceled because a COVID storm surfaces. And what looks like is going to destroy us is going to end up being that which catapults us to the other side.
God took you to the book of 2 Chronicles 2020. What does that say?
Well, you know, and it's kind of obvious in a way, the 2 Chronicles 20:20 scripture, it is again a picture of this year. It's Jehoshaphat the king, and then he finds out he is surrounded by the Moabites and the Ammonites, and the armies are so immense, so much greater than him.
So in the natural, he's finished.
He's like, oh my goodness, he was fearful. And so he calls an assembly. A lot of what's gone on around the world. There have been special prayer meetings and church meetings and online, mainly most everything. But there has been many meetings to seek the Lord. What does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? And there was a prophet named Jahaziel who stood up. Interesting what his name means. His name means he who watches God and God watches him. And so it's about seeing things from his perspective, sort of like Caleb vision. What do you see in the same territory as what the 10 spies? The 10 spies are kind of like normal media. They see all the giants, they see all the challenges. And Caleb was able to see in the midst of that challenging situation, he was able to see huge grapes, a land that flows with milk and honey. So Jahaziel says, listen, this battle you will not have to fight. This is the Lord's battle. You will have to show up in the battlefield. But this is one he will fight for you. So position yourselves in the battlefield. Jehoshaphat carried out of that, King Jehoshaphat, the strategy of leading with worshipers and praisers. And they went before. And the praisers, as they worshiped and praised God, it says the enemy began to kill themselves. Now, we've heard that praise and worship isn't a tool against the enemy. But I believe perhaps why we are called to praise him at this time is because the enemy is not really the Moabites and the Ammonites. It is fear. And we have to suppress the fear that's inside of us by praising and worshiping our God. And then the enemy begins to wipe itself out. I think we're going to see that in a practical way, even in our nation, the nations of the world. There's clearly a global dark agenda that has come against, conspired against President Trump because of his assignment before God. It's come against the United States economy, and they're willing to sacrifice the economies of the whole world. They're willing to see all kinds of death and destruction in order for themselves to maintain their control. So we're seeing played out in 2 Chronicles 20, the 2020 dynamics. But again, it's good news. There is the challenge. It's bigger than us. It's more than we can handle. There's a rescue operation from heaven on our behalf as we hold our ground. We show up in the battlefield knowing the battle is the Lord's.
What I'm hearing you say, it's just a little storm because the kingdom of God is about ready to take over. Our next segment, Johnny will pray and many will receive instantly a supernatural sign from God in your physical body as to which of the seven mountains you are called to. Next. What about now? Has God shown you anything about the next election?
Yeah, I believe he's going to win. President Trump's going to win. And I believe the Lord gave me kind of three different scenarios. It was weird. The numbers were 51%, 57%, and 71%. It could be an absolutely avalanche, or it could be a squeaker, depending on really how his children participate. It's why we have to rise and shine.
And well, when you say participate, are you talking about voting? Are you talking about praying? What are you talking about?
Well, it was like 51% if we voted. That would show at least, okay, the church is involved. Mm-hmm. And then it was 57% if we vote and pray, and if we took up praying as well. And then the big jump to 71% is if we would engage love in action. And that's really where we get activated on in every area of society. And specifically, if we would do anything we would do towards reconciliation across racial lines, that this is where the enemy was working hard, any effort that we would do towards that would be looked at heaven in a special way. He's got a rescue operation in place, not just for the United States, but on behalf of the nations of the world.
You saw him praying in the White House. Tell me what you saw.
I saw him being touched by the Holy Spirit and like encountered by the Holy Spirit. And I said, his roar is going to go to the next level. He's not going to become less confronted when that happens. He's already driven by the Lord. The Lord's put a thing of justice and cleanup the corruption. He knows so much more than all of us know. He knows that it's not just corruption. It is satanic, highest level evil imaginable that is operating the tops of the mountains. And so he has seen it's black and white, but the Lord is going to encounter him. And I think we're going to see in his second term a more patriarchal Donald Trump. We're going to see one that begins to showcase the Father's heart. But he's sort of like in a Davidic mode right now. People forget, again, that David, he was not so sweet with his words. If you look in 1 Samuel 17, the words he said to Goliath, you know, Goliath said, oh, who do you think you're on? David came back with three times as many words. Like, when I'm done with you, I'm taking the carcasses of the Philistines behind. It was aggressive language.
What does his first name mean, Donald?
It means chief leader.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Psalm 47:5, God has gone up with the sound of the trump.
I want you to pray for the supernatural sign.
So I told you early on that 97% of you have a primary assignment in one of the seven mountains that are not the church mountain, not where the church is, not traditional ministry. And it's either media, the economy, government, education, family, or arts and entertainment. And I asked the Lord to give us signs for this. And you know, part of what I'm speaking, even in this book, The Best Is Yet to Come, I tell about the best is yet to come. It's better not just than you think, it's better than you can imagine. And part of what he wants to do in order just to prove this to you who are watching right now, he's going to release signs and wonders on your physical body. And there's going to be seven specific ones. And we're going to do this real quickly. And so remember this, don't forget the signs as we go into it, because sometimes when you feel the signs, it can be like, disconcerting. But we're just going to go through them right now. I'm going to blow the shofar at the end. It's going to activate the signs.
Do many people receive in their physical body when you pray or blow the shofar?
Always. A high percentage.
I'm going to do this one.
And you know, and there is, for whatever reason, some feel it later in the day or in the night they wake up. And so, for instance, one of the signs I'm going to give you, if you have a call, a call to creativity, Mountain of Arts Entertainment, a creative call, when I blow the shofar, your left arm is going to go numb. I don't mean pretend numb, I mean numb. Or the other sign, it'll begin to involuntarily, not you doing it, involuntarily start shaking. It'll be something where you know. See, this is about God telling you. This is better than a prophetic word. So that's sign number one, arts and entertainment, left-hand arm. Right arm, mountain of economy. If you feel a hand on your head, and I'm telling you, a hand on your head, this has happened to thousands. A hand on your head means you have a call to the mountain of government. And it doesn't mean you're called to be the president or whatever. God will make it clear if you're called to be the candidate or the intercessor or the friend or the financer for something there. But it means you have an important assignment on the mountain of government, a hand on the head. If you feel your eyelids flutter, you can't even make that stuff up. It has to be real. Your eyelids start fluttering means mountain of education. You have an assignment, mountain of education. If you, a sign of a tear will be that the Lord has put one of His tears, you'll probably feel something in your heart first. He is calling you to the mountain of family, and He's giving you the next measure, the next level of compassion, and the tear He puts in your heart will come out of your eye. You won't even think about it. It's happening right now to some of you. If your feet begin to go numb or go hot, or it starts coming up your legs, the main thing is you know it's supernatural. That'll be a call to the mountain of media, to be a kingdom communicator, to carry the spirit of good news. And then finally, if He wants to confirm, hey, doing the ministry thing you're doing, pastor, mountain of religion type stuff you're doing, the sign will be joy. So out there, if we could see everybody, there's going to be people weeping, and there's going to be people laughing, and there are going to be these signs. And this is going to be activated now if you just hold your hands out and say, Lord, I receive whatever sign and wonder you want to release. This is Him speaking to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just receive it for a moment. Whoa, it's hard to stop that. Just receive it for a moment. Thank you, Lord, for releasing these signs in Jesus' name.